KCIUT 89.5 FM, celebrating 35 years as the sound of your city. Proudly student and listener-supported community radio.
Here we are. Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Hey, with me is Phil Conlon. How you doing?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil, and thanks to all our listeners who contributed. We had a very good week of fundraising.
And the rest of you.
Right. Yeah, the rest of you who didn't contribute.
Still, this is it.
That's it.
Probably just now tuning in thinking, oh, I thought it was this week. Yeah. Okay, it is this week. Yeah. Go to CIUT.FM.
CIUT.FM, donate. See, we said it twice.
do mention the Taylor Report. And you're right. We are very grateful, and we love doing this programming. We loved all the music and all the great programs that CIUT presents. So we're the little station of the big sound. You know, we get as our trucker. His name was Tom DeCastro. If you want to do the research, always told us he could pick us up one side of Ontario and the other, and the bottom side and the top. Not the top. We don't reach the Arctic Circle, but that's our intention. We're going to go up there with the Canadian Army and everything when that happens. Phil, there are some matters we definitely want to talk about today. Incidentally, we will be talking about the strike of the not the strike, the settlement, as such as we understand it, with the education workers, and that'll probably be about 15 minutes. I think we'll be talking about that. But first of all, I think we should talk about Prime Minister Trudeau and his visit to, he's been traveling. Was it G20, ASEAN, he's at the Francophonie conference. That's, by the way, very impressive. The leader of the Francophonie is Louise Mushikiwabo, and the great powers, the imperialist powers, saw to it that Rwanda is in charge of the Francophonie and of the Commonwealth. That's almost a trifecta. I don't know if the third one might be waiting somewhere, but really quite funny to watch, actually, if you have a morbid sense of humor. So we have the issue of that has guy made the media, Canadian media, excited, and that's the he said and she said. President Xi was met by the Canadian Prime Minister. What I noticed, first of all, is that the reporting on this is terrible. It's not fun. They don't tell you fundamental things. The fact is that the Prime Minister had no organized face-to-face meeting with the President of the People's Republic of China. Joe Biden did. Macron did. Presidents in Malaysia and others did. And so there was a kind of we were in this situation being a vassal of and one that destroyed a extremely prosperous and successful telecommunications giant, Huawei, by on the direction of the President of the United States, Donald Trump. He said, I want you to arrest a woman who's an executive in that company. I want you to humiliate her. I want you to take her telephone away from her, take her personal, I want to say laptop. What's the other thing they took? They did take her laptop.
They took all of her electronics, her laptop.
All of her electronics. Her phones, and told her they would need her passwords, which they then gave to the FBI. So, you know, all powerful, self-respecting, sovereign countries do things like that, right? They suborn their own sovereignty, carry out the work of an alien intelligence organization, deliver them all, and destroy, set a bomb, an economic bomb under their own feet and blow themselves up. That's what we did. So President Xi is not terribly impressed with us, I gather. and not very happy. And so we had this episode where some type of meeting happened. And as I understand it, according to Globe and Mail, it was a brief meeting on one day. I think it was last Monday or last Tuesday, which lasted about 10 minutes, following which the prime minister came out and said he had met Xi and he had said these things to him. Anybody who's taught basic manners knows how to do diplomacy. If you have a private meeting with an individual, you don't get to make your own statement unless you're trying to cause trouble for the individual with whom you met. Because in order to meet, the two of you have to agree to meet, which means that you're entering into a understanding with each other. But the prime minister had to come out and make a little statement. In the middle of that statement, by the way, Phil, is something that is quite shocking and has not been explored by us. We'll definitely do it on the Taylor Report. They claimed, the Chinese say otherwise, but they claimed that he had raised with President Xi the issue of 11 candidates in Canada in a federal election in 2019 of having had been financed, received funds from China. That is not a fact. There is no evidence. No one in Canada knows the names of those 11. This is an intelligence leak from somebody inside the apparatus. It's founded on nothing. But 11 people are terribly under a shadow as a result of this kind of reckless talk. Why you would, by the way, throw that into a discussion and say that you've done it, if you raised it with the president of China, how about raising it with us? Could you tell us in Canada who you claim took money or received money? Otherwise, how in the world can you be standing on a world stage talking to the president of China about this? You don't have, you have Jack nothing. Really, and you're also acting like a sub-teenager because there's no foundation for any discussion. If he raised it, I'm sure that on the other side, they simply looked at him and wondered, what time is it? Let's get out of here. This, you know, where is this guy from? I don't think he did raise it, by the way. There's no record. And so then the following day, there was this encounter. And I actually heard CBC people suggesting that the Chinese caused the encounter, but I read in the Globe, and I'm not saying anybody's got the truth. I would love to see somebody please sort this out, give us the timeline, give us the names. But they said that it was Canadian television cameras that were catching this. Do you know, Phil, by the way?
I don't know, but it
let's go with you don't know.
Okay, so one of the theories is that they kind of stumbled into each other, right?
Not true.
Would not have happened.
No. But, okay, we all watched it. And again, the internet is dangerous for our leaders, I got to tell them, because you can put those three talking heads up there and they all explain that China's a bad guy and our Prime Minister was a hero, and everybody noticed. No, they didn't, because if you read comments are running 10 to 1 Canadians saying, hey, this is embarrassing. That was stupid. Well, it is stupid because, again, you go back. If you have a respectful meeting with an representative of another country, you don't lecture him about his own country. Unless the two of you have agreed that you're going to say these things. Why did you want a private? If you want a conversation, you have to go through the appropriate personnel, set it up, have the discussion, and then agree roughly what you will say following. The United States has gone through this. Blinken got pushed around a little bit about 1 year ago when he tried to put on a little show and the Chinese showed him up. but, I mean, that is the basic protocols that you do. But, okay, now let's move to the word zeitgeist. Everybody look up zeitgeist. Yes, Hegel had something to do with it, but it's actually just a common idea. Goethe and others. I hate to be mentioning Germans all of a sudden, but anyway, here's what happened. It was spirit of the times. But our prime minister, people forget, in 2015 ran on a platform that said he was going to reset and reopen relations with the Islamic Republic of Iran, or as they say in America, Iran. He was going to open Iran. And he also was going to improve relations with China, because if you recall Mr. Harper, those relations were not good, because Harper is a neo-colonialist prig and a not very bright in to boot. But now, so, and he was going to do the same with Russia. All this was, he was going to improve, you see. We're going to get on a smooth plane. We're going to re-engage. It was actually a kind of a multilateral theory, multilateralism. Now, along came the great storm called Trump. And then everybody got pushed by the zeitgeist. This new confrontational kick-ass, U.S.'s number one philosophy, has been moving everyone. Look how Joe Biden, for example, who took over from Trump, he said, you know, everybody said, golly, Trump is, he's changing things. Like he moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Everybody said, oh, no, we don't do that. I mean, there's an agreement until the relations between the Palestinian state, there is a Palestinian state and the Israeli state are resolved. We won't have our embassy there. That was the European Western Alliance position. Trump just did it. Said, okay, I'm going to do it. Now, Biden didn't undo it. Instead, he's going with that policy. He also had a policy on Iran of the Biden was going to resume the talks and bring back the agreement, which would be the practical result of which would be a guarantee that Iran would not develop a nuclear weapon, which they say they didn't intend to do anyway, but and there are sanctions on Iran. There's no trade. Europeans can't do trade with Iran because of this problem, and this was to resolve the problem. So Trump walked out of the previous agreement. As you know, it was signed, Phil. Obama and his gang signed it. So then Trump said, I don't care. I'm out of here. And he walked out of it.
In fact, wasn't it adopted as a resolution of the Security Council?
Been in favor of it all along.
Right, then Americans. Trump just walked out on it anyway.
Yeah. So we're back to the zeitgeist. So here we are. So Biden comes in, and he doesn't get the agreement. Instead, it's Trump's way or the highway, and Biden is doing it Trump's way. So the same thing is going on here. Our prime minister is terrified of Mr. Polyev, terrified, because Polyev, there's been an organized, Western organized move, and it's well along down the road now to try to bring about a violent removal of the government of Iran. And all the drum beaters are up and down the streets of Paris, London, Washington, Ottawa, etc., Toronto. And it's an armed movement. It's like the one that they used to remove Gaddafi, and the one they are using to try to remove President Assad. And we recall each time Obama said, Gaddafi's got to go. Then he said, President Assad has got to go. And he's the arbiter. This is what we talk about. This is, for anybody uninitiated, this is naked imperialism. This is raw, Because the President of the United States decides by fiat who is going to be the leader of Syria. And so now Biden a week ago said, I guarantee you we're going to change the Islamic Republic. We're going to change it. He said, I guarantee it. By the way, you also remember, he keeps his promise. Remember when he said there wouldn't be a Nord Stream if Russia went into Ukraine? Well, there is no Nord Stream. It's been blown up. And I don't see the W5 or the Fifth Estate or whatever they're called, all these, you know, rugged guys with the three-day growth of beard leaning into the mic saying, we're getting to the bottom of this. None of them are going to look into Nord Stream. They'd all lose their jobs. They wouldn't exist. They're just a bunch of clowns, a bunch of phonies, a bunch of hypocrites. But the zeitgeist bit the prime minister. When the Islamic Republic stuff started and the street demonstrations happened, we had a Richmond Hill demonstration, and the featured speaker was Polyev, and he's with the armed guys. I mean, he's for the whole. He doesn't care. Somebody said, "Oh, yep, they're killing police and soldiers." Oh, that's what they're for. You know, that's all great. And if you look at the demonstrations, you'll get to see the flag of the Shah, or you get to see a photograph of the MEK leader. Who lives in Paris and has a very nice quarters there, and her army is in Albania, underwritten by the United States. As an army, a private army, is parked in Albania. So that's who's running these demonstrations, you can tell. So that panicked our prime minister. So he put out a tweet where he said it is outrageous that the Iran is... going to execute or did execute 15,000 people, he said. He wanted to be out in front of Polyev. He wants to say, I'm more nasty than you. But we all know this from American politics. Who's the most anti-Russian? As you know, Phil, from history, Americans used to ask each other, who lost China? The Republicans would say, you did, you liberals. You gave China away, you see? And now the question is, who's the most anti? So Polyev, who is a Harperist, when I don't like him, I'll call him a Harperite. He's a Harperist. He's all ready to, he wants to get rough and tough with China because, after all, Canada has aircraft carriers all over the place, and Canada has long-range missiles and nuclear weapons. So he wants to show he's going to lecture them. And the prime minister said he can, he knows which way the wind is blowing, so he put on his little show. And it was strictly for domestic market. Do you think anybody else in the world cares 2 cents about that? Anybody impressed with what he did? Frankly, I don't even think the British covered it. I think everybody kind of looked at the ceiling and said, Pierre must have a problem at home because he's acting up. And for those of you who want to know what diplomacy is, go to the conversation, and it will be explained to you by the President Xi of China. He says, we have to have respect, and we have to have, if you want to have talks, you have to arrange them properly. You don't just make noises, okay? So the zeitgeist bit our prime minister. That's what happened. The zeitgeist, his fear of the storm that is blowing out of, mainly from Washington, and which has now become extremely belligerent. And by the way, Trump is back on Twitter, so there'll be more storm. And Biden will be trying to show he's tougher because it's always with an American president, who have you bombed lately? Have you bombed anybody? Because, how do we know you're president? And he said, I'm the president if you were Jimmy Carter, you made nice. They buried Jimmy Carter for being nice, even though he wasn't as nice as people thought. But mainly you have to be rugged. You got to have your spear, you have to have your drums, and you have to have Marines and Air Force. And it's like an NFL football game. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we'll get into this later, but the NFL, my goodness, they can't have a game now without a warplane. And commercial after commercial after commercial trying recruiting people, because the American military is somewhat depleted, and they're not too happy. So we're seeing all kinds of ads for them and at the football games. This is Taylor Report, CIVT. I think we're going to listen to a little Power of the People, John Lennon. You know, he's a working class kid. You remember that, right, Tom?
I certainly do.
I think we're back. We are. That was John Lennon, friend of the working class.
Phil, can I make a little coda to the interview with Tony? We talked about the indexing and cost of living increases. The father of the current prime minister had a big moment in 1976. It was called 6 and 5. Inflation was running at 12 to 14%. And he just passed a law that said all wages in the country are restrained. 6% and then 5%, and no more cost of living clauses. And he probably didn't have the constitutional authority to do it, but he did it because he was Pierre Trudeau and he could do what he wanted. And indexing just every collective agreement had a cost of living thing. It was universal. And then they were gone, just like that.
I'm glad you mentioned it because, see, once a word is dropped from usage, it disappears.
That's right. And the concept of it is gone. It's like, okay, guys, we signed a 3-year agreement, so you're stuck with these increases. Well, that didn't used to be the case, you know. Yes. You know.
Can you remember when the Democratic Party of the United States was leading the charge for affirmative action? Have you ever heard the term affirmative action?
Look it up. Yeah, right. Yeah, I know what it is.
Lost words department.
Absolutely. That is lost words department. Now that's called race-based discrimination. And all kinds of right-wingers and libertarians and moderate Democrats are all against it, right?
Yeah. Well, they're knocking out, actually. Affirmative action is dropping dead as a result of Supreme Court rulings, which, by the way, the Democratic Congress isn't racing to correct.
That's right.
You got to keep an eye on them. They'll say, oh, the terrible Supreme Court. You say, yeah, but you're in Congress, aren't you? Yeah. What did you do?
Yeah, and right now people are talking about Roe versus Wade, and Biden says, well, now the Republicans are going to control the House. They don't control it until January 3rd. Right now, Biden has a Democratic Congress. He could do it, but he's not doing it.
Oh, please. The idea that he would. No. Again, look up Zeitgeist. And then look up Rupert, what's his name?
Murdoch.
Yeah, he's in charge of the Zeitgeist. It's his department.
Yeah.
There's Thor, and then there's Rupert Murdoch and Zeus. Okay, this is the Taylor Report. Hey, donate. You can go to CIUT.FM, and because we're a few grand short of the 100 grand, but we're going to get there because we are achievers. We're the little achievers. What was his name? Sedlovsky. He was a union leader. Lebowski. The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski.
The Little Achievers.
Yeah, so the Big Lebowski tells you, donate.
Yeah. One of them does. Anyway, CIUT.FM, donate. Phil, we have to talk about so much evidence that And I got to say it, I feel like a vulgar determinist from the old school, like Upton Sinclair or something, but the capitalist system right before our eyes seems to be going to pot. I mean, literally, well, as we say, of course, there is pot on the street now, but strange things are happening. And to me, I got to say, gambling is the one that gets me. And here's a headline, New York Times today, desperate for growth, aging casino company embraced degenerate gambler. And the subhead is David Portnoy, who has a history of misogynist and racist behavior, is now a public spokesman for the sports betting industry. That sounds kind of worrying. Here we go, zeitgeist, yeah. And then also today, and this leads to something I'm going to ask you about, because I know you did a little research. We always appreciate research at the Taylor Report. There's a tie-in here, and I love using my magic phone. Phil, I'll just tell you about it. The second article in the New York Times today on the same subject says that universities are making deals with the gambling industry to promote it on campus with the... that's one way to get money, right? But if you look at the photographs, and by the way, I really urge you, go to the New York Times today, read about Portnoy. And incidentally, there's a quote in there. Portnoy has a father who says, oh, he's a legitimate degenerate. I tell you, he says, I just want everybody to know my son is a legitimate, what's the word that I use?
Degenerate.
Yeah. He's a real deal. He's not fooling. Okay. Here it is. The business section of today's New York Times. How colleges and sports betting companies Caesarized. Caesar's Palace, I guess. Actually, there was a guy named Caesar, and he had a palace, but we all understand it. If you want to go to Caesar's Palace, that's in Nevada. Caesarized campus life. And then this subhead, in order to reap millions of dollars in fees, universities are partnering with betting companies to introduce their students and sports fans to online gambling. Now, that, you know... our friend Shay, for example, they would like him to start gambling. They think his student life isn't interesting enough. They want him to gamble. And the fellow Portnoy, by the way, he's one of those people who says, ignore what your mom and dad said. Get drunk and gamble and follow me. Or if you don't, you're a coward. See, only the real living people are the ones who are drunk and throwing away mom and dad's money, you know. Which is, by the way, an old capitalist tradition. As somebody said, you know, how did the American millionaires get their money? And 2/3 of them inherited it. So, this is Taylor Report, by the way. We have a little piece of music that just to show that we are we go to the right church here. Where Rosetta's sister, Rosetta Tharpe, has a little song, and we'll play that.